Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's episode 533 with Rob Blasco. You know him from Zach Sabbath. You know him from Ozzy Osbourne's band. You know him from Cryptic Slaughter. You know him from, how many things has he been in? Rob Zombie. Danzig. Didn't he play with Danzig? He's been in a lot of bands. He's the man. And we always love having Blasco on, and it's a great show, and it's a lot of fun. We got a lot of funny stuff to talk about. I think you're going to enjoy it. But first, I want to thank everybody who signed up for the Josta Patreon. I really appreciate it, and I know there's still a little bit of confusion, but I'm going to try to break it down for you real quick. And thank you. Seriously, we broke our first 100 patrons in the first 2-3 weeks, and that was our goal. So now we're looking to get to 200. It's patreon.com/Josta. Your Gas Digital Network subscription is not going to change, and as we move on, you're going to get a little taste of the Patreon content in the bonus content on my Gas Digital page. You'll get it early on Patreon, but then it'll also go up on bonus content on the Gas Digital page. Not everything, though. Let me clarify. We're going to put a weekly metal roundup update on there for our Gas Digital subs who might want to add the Patreon sub as well. Listen to me, talking all podcaster-ish, not saying subscription, but you know what I'm talking about. So again, the Gas Digital Network subscription stays the same. You got 520 episodes in the archive, which you can do a deep dive on and catch up on if you're a new listener. And you'll get all sorts of rare exclusive stuff under the bonus content page, including the occasional episode from Patreon. So depending on when you're listening to this, today or tomorrow, Thursday, July 23rd or Friday, July 24th, Brian will have up the first weekly metal roundup episode that we did, June 30th. Our Patreon members will get it first, and occasionally we'll tease you on the Gas Digital sub. So maybe you'll come over and add the Patreon sub too. We are going to be capping the executive producer tier probably at 50 people. And you'll hear today at the end of this podcast with Blasco, those people get credited in some audio on the regular podcast here on the Josta Show. But we are going to cap that, I think, at 50 people. So if you want to get in on that tier, $25 a month tier, you will get access to at least one live Josta Show taping on Zoom every month. And so far, we've had a bunch of our executive producers join us with Howard, join us with Derek from Sepultura, which is coming up next week. They've joined us with Randy Bly, which you just heard. So it's just a little extra added bonus while we are not on tour. And we really appreciate all the support. I know this quarantine and this pandemic and this whole situation worldwide has been tough for everybody. So we really appreciate, especially with us, having a little dip in sponsors there. It's been amazing to have everyone's support and get that extra revenue coming in on the Patreon, because we are using it to make more content. You can still donate paypal.me/Josta. Any amount gets you a shout out. Or you can Venmo at Jamie Josta, and any amount gets you a shout out if you're an indie band or if you want to plug a website or whatever, your blog, your TikTok, your Snapchat, your Instagram. We're just not doing care packages anymore. But, there's people that donate $5. You get a shout out for you or whoever you want, your friend's birthday here on the podcast. So let's get to the shout outs real quick. Then I got a couple things to tell you about. First, I want to thank Mark Mullaney from Nutley, New Jersey. Shout out to Mosh and Mark Mullaney from Nutley, New Jersey. Also, and I'm thinking about everybody who donates and a lot of people on the Patreon. I'm thinking about giving you mosh pit names. Jordan Donegan from Lee's Summit, Missouri. Shout out to Jumpin' Jordan Donegan over in Lee's Summit, Missouri. I should say Missouri. Also, Cody Craver. Kick-ass Cody Craver. I could have done better than that. Cody Crush Groove Craver. I don't know. I'm going to start giving nicknames to everybody who donates. McPherson. He's coming from McPherson, Kansas. Man, we got a lot of Kansas podcast listeners lately. Thank you. Shout out to Kansas. Also, Cassidy Hyde. Big shout out to Cassidy. Really appreciate your support over at martyrstore.net. Cassidy's over in Wells, Nevada. A lot of Nevada listeners too. Shout out to Nevada. I hear you guys are opening back up soon. I might have to come hit the casino. I was looking at that Caesars stock too, man. Caesar's stock made a big run. I should have bought it when it was $3. I need a good nickname for you, Cassidy. The Sundance. Cassidy, the Sundance Kid Hyde. No, I don't know. Also, you would think on the last one from Kansas, what was your name? Cody Craver. Normally when I meet someone from Kansas, I go, okay, carry on, my wayward son. All right, bad dad joke.
Thank you.
So listen, today's episode is brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com. They are killing it right now with these ingested pre-orders. The album's coming out August 7th. A lot of the pre-orders are selling out, but you can still get it now when you head on over to IndieMerchStore.com right after the podcast. Use my code, help out the show and help out a great site and a bunch of great bands over there. You'll see all the merch. You'll see Kirk is on this new ingested. You'll see, and we are going to reschedule the Kirk podcast soon. Also, you'll see Vincent from Acacia Strain, Matt from Kublai Khan is on there, and a bunch of others. They got those municipal waste trucker hats back in stock. I saw they have the aborted tank tops back in stock, and you can also pre-order that Cattle Decapitation, the Anthropocene Extinction LP&T bundle, plus suffocation masks, so much good stuff. IndieMerchStore.com, use a code 15JASTA, that's 15JASTA. What else do I got to tell you about? Oh, we're launching the State to State podcast. We're doing a deep dive of all the best bands from every state, all 50 states. That's going to be exclusive on Patreon. So if you got a band from your state that you want to show up on that Patreon podcast, shoot me a link, jastashow@gmail.com, or you can send it over to facebook.com/JastaHQ. Or when you sign up to the email list at jasta.fanbridge.com, you can shoot a message in over there. And we are going to bring the segments back on all the upcoming Jasta Show podcasts here on Gas Digital and everywhere else. So please start using the hashtag AskJasta again on Twitter. And I will make sure that we get, you know, a bunch of questions answered by all the upcoming guests and the voicemail. We still got the voicemail, 201-677-8032. So if you got a question for Tony Campos or Edsel Dope, they're coming up on the show. Also, Ben Wyman from Dillinger Escape Plan and Suicidal Tendencies. Those are going to be, I think, next week. So leave a message for them today, and we will try to play that on the show. 201-677-8032. That's 201-677-8032. And use the hashtag AskJasta, jasta.fanbridge.com for the email list we never sent out. I actually just sent it out, finally. Big shout out to Eddie, everybody at Undercover Marketing, everybody who's been helping me, Paul, Brian, Nick, Greg DeCrosta, Chris Baudet. I mean, it's been crazy. We just launched the Hatebreed pint glasses and the signed picture discs for Concrete Confessional. Those sold out in minutes. We did some 8x10s too, some signed 8x10s, which are almost gone. And then, the pint glasses are almost gone. So head on over to martyrstore.net, martyrstore.net. Also got to tell you about Mission 2 Entertainment. They just put out that new Cro-Mags album, the first Cro-Mags album in 30 years. It's not the John and Mackie Cro-Mags, though. Please, everybody know, because I know that, you know, there's this whole, you know, I don't support this. I want this version of Cro-Mags. This is the Harley version of Cro-Mags. I try to stay out of the drama, but you know the deal. If you're a Harley guy, this is the record for you. You can head on over to Mission 2 Entertainment. It's the word 2, not the number 2. Mission2entertainment.com after the show, and you'll see they have pre-order packages or just regular, you know, now it's just bundle packages because I think the album's out. It's called In the Beginning, and it also features Rocky George from formerly of Suicidal Tendencies. Mission2entertainment.com. One more thing before we get to the show with Blasco. We are still doing some other indie ads. I know everybody who wrote in probably did not get a response just yet. It's because we were slammed for the last 2 weeks, but we will get to it for next week's episodes. So if you want to advertise on the Derek from Sepultura episode, or if you want to advertise on the Tony Campos, Edsel Dope episode, or the Ben Wyman episode coming up, we will do a couple special indie deals for ad rates. Hit the Jasta Show at Gmail, or Chris will try to get to it at info@stillbornrecords.com. But I know he's going to be, him and everybody who's working right now, they're slammed with all these martyrstore.net pre-orders for the pint glasses, which are now up, like I said. But again, they'll probably be gone by the time you hear this. But if you want to check it out, again, martyrstore.net. All right, we got Blasco back on the podcast. Now on to the show. It's not
just a show. My friend, the lead singer of Hatebreed, the infamous and notorious Jamie Jasta, is in the building.
That's what's up.
Jamie Jasta from the metal band Hatebreed. That guy's famous.
Coffee, death metal, and push-ups.
That's Jamie Jasta. Remember Jamie Jasta? You know him. He's a podcaster, but he's also a metal man.
I would say you need that.
That shit is hard.
You're all Jamie Jasta.
5:33, Blasco's in the house, Brian's here, we're ready to rock. Blasco, I was doing like one every week, one every 10 days, because I was going to move.
Yeah.
And I didn't get the house, and it's not a good time to buy a house anyways.
Well, okay, sure. But interest rates are low, right? That's helpful.
Yeah, it's a good time to sell your house because you're going to get a nice price because people are trying to get out of the city.
Oh, right. Yeah, in your case, I've got some friends that live in Brooklyn, man, and they're like, they're shopping around like Connecticut and whatnot. Like, get me the fuck out of here.
Yep. It's crazy. People are paying like 400 grand for a house like out in the suburbs outside of New Haven or outside of Stamford that would normally go for like 240, 250.
Yep.
And there's, you know, there's other examples that are lower than that. Obviously you can still get some deals, but you got to be careful because I was looking in this one town. I won't say which town, but I just went on a deep dive on their local, like, I don't know if it was Reddit or some sort of comment section, which is now closed because it's a dumpster fire. But the taxes are so fucking high in this town because they've misappropriated funds and people are guilty of giving their brother this contract for this. And I mean, it's such a fucking shit show that's like the one town where you could get a great house, a bunch of land, but then you're going to be paying more for your taxes than you are for your mortgage.
Yeah, right. Yeah, crazy. No bueno.
How do you deal with it in California? Like, I always thought California was way overpriced.
Well, you know, honestly, I mean, I was born and raised here, right? So I think it's in that situation, you know, you just kind of adapt. Like, you don't really know, you know? Like, you're like, oh, well, clearly I could live much cheaper in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily want to live in Las Vegas, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's just one of those things where you don't know any difference. So you just adapt.
Yeah,
or you've adapted, you know what I mean? Like it's not even a matter of adapting. It's just accepting that it is the way it is.
The auctions in Vegas, they're tempting. I registered for one. Like, when you register for one, you got to put down 2,500. I was a little weird about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I had asked a friend there, like, hey, how's this area? And can you drive by? And they said, it's okay. It's not the best, but it'd be great, you know, as an investment. Like, if you want to Airbnb it around Raiders games when they come and things like that. So, but then I got in the auction and that shit went up real fast. I think the bank is also allowed to like bid. Like, they can just like up their own bid.
Yeah.
And by now, everyone's tuned out because this is Real Estate Talk with Rob and Jamie.
Which is two of the most, uneducated real estate developers and consultants.
The worst people that ever listen about. Like, if we were good at real estate, we would have bought, like, in Brooklyn when we could go play Lemoore's and there was, like, burned out buildings for 16 grand that now go for, like, $3 million. Yeah. and you can't say, I say Lemoore's. I always add the S, but people get upset. They go Lemoore, but you know, it was like, oh, where are you going? I'm going to see Life of Agony and Biohazard at Lemoore's. That's what we used to say.
What was the proper? I think because, you know, us growing up, we only looked over at you guys. We never really made it that far touring wise, not at that time, right? And I think we always referred to it as Lemoore.
You did? Okay.
I think so. Yeah. But what do we know? We're from LA.
Well, I like to add the S, but I think everybody knows about. So I think everyone has that like person in their life where they add the S on everything.
Mm.
Like my girlfriend's mom, like Kmart was always Kmart's with the S.
Ooh, that's weird.
That people really didn't like that one. Walmart's. No,
that's a weird one.
You don't know anybody like that just adds the S to everything?
No, I can't. No,
it's
got to
be
not.
An East Coast thing. Then.
It has to be. Yeah.
But anyways, I'm happy to see you. I'm happy to see your face. I'm glad that the throes of depression and anxiety and music related industry stress has not taken you out yet. Thank God.
Well, I was thinking about you. I was thinking about the show in that, you know, you've been, God, I mean, you got to be more as a podcaster. You're probably one in, by you needing to be in the same room as the person, right? Primarily, you would bounce around. You're like, dude, I'm playing tonight. Come down, meet me at the hotel. Like, it didn't matter where you were. You'd be connecting the dots to just to get guests so that you could stay consistent, right? And here you are, 500 plus episodes by doing that. But then I thought, like, well, are you going to adapt to a Zoom type of format? Not are you capable, but meaning like, is that going to work? Like, are you going to feel comfortable sitting across from me in a Zoom chat versus in a hotel room? You know, so I'm glad that here we are, and that because this is going to, you know, you're going to be able to do 10 times as many now, right? You'll do the, when things resume, you'll still do the one-on-ones, but you can do, you know, you can be mobile and talk to anyone anywhere at any time, right?
Yeah, I like the in-person better, obviously, because it just forces me to be social and interact and follow through and do things that normal people do that you kind of lose when you're on tour. You know, you get in that tour bubble and then you really, I don't think a lot of people who aren't in bands realize what a weird, unique bubble the touring world is, mm-hmm. and how much of a fish out of water you are when you are off tour.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, Zach and I talk about it, Alex, whenever we do the Zach Sabbath thing, like we kind of talk about how the routine is, right? And you'll relate to this where you go like, okay, well, you know, you're up, you do the coffee, you know, you find a place to poop. Like once all that happens, right, there's a little bit of time to acclimate, but then it's like sound check, then VIP, right? And then getting ready, and then you do a show, and then you go to sleep, and then you do it all over again. But it's just like this routine that starts at like 4 p.m. and goes till like 2 a.m, you know,
yep.
And then you got to come down after the show because you're all jacked from adrenaline. So then you got to like do whatever you can to kind of come in for a cruise landing. And then, see, then you wake up at like noon and find that place to poop again. And then it's fucking game on at 4, you know?
Yeah, don't so rinse and repeat is what I call it.
Yeah.
rinse if you're lucky and repeat. Rinse if the venue has a shower or the bus. We did have a shower on the last bus, which came in really handy, especially when you got, you know, dudes like yourself who will occasionally clog the drain unbeknownst to everyone else who are about to get in. And then you got, you know, DNA on your flip-flops. And
yep, totally.
But yeah, the routine, I was talking to a friend of mine who's an introvert who claims that I'm an extrovert trapped in an introvert trapped in an extrovert's job.
Okay.
And I was explaining that exact routine that you just explained. And they said, so basically it's like you're having guests at your house every night of the week. I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine the anxiety? Like for a person to have a guest at their house, you'd be like, I got to clean this up. I can't have this. I can do this. Oh, this person doesn't like this person. This, you know, and it's just every night you have all these things to think of. And then when you get home, you have to deal with that adrenal crash. You have to deal with that crash landing, so to speak. Yeah. And then the reality hits that, you know, adulting needs to happen. Bills need to be paid unless you have somebody to handle that for you. Calls need to be made. Although I did see a funny thing on Tank's Good News Instagram where it's like app idea. Have an extrovert make appointments and do calls for an introvert on Shark Tank, and it's got the button like invest. Like, that's
how
great.
And the transition from tour life back to home life, how about this one where when you're in that bubble with the dudes, there potentially becomes this thing that is this inside only environment. Like it's sometimes it's like a movie, right? Like it's a movie that resonates with the tour that you have watched 100 times, or it's just on repeat, right? And like it's the movie of the tour, right? No matter what it is, and you think it's genius, and then you get home to the people that have been waiting for you at home, and you want to carry that like enthusiasm with you, and you're like, you're gonna love it. You gotta, like, we're loving this movie. Like, and then they're like, this isn't funny. Like, I don't know what you're like. I'm not part of your inside joke. Like this, like I'm not relating to your lifestyle, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever it is, even if it's like it's kind of food or a fucking snack or some shit, like you bring it with you off the road to the stable, non-mobile home life, and it doesn't translate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like you're in Germany and it's like shawarma every night, shawarma, shawarma, shawarma. And you're like, yeah. And you're like all about the shawarma. You come home and you're in Connecticut and you try to tell your friend, like, do we have shawarma around here? They're like, what? Like, I don't
what
want
are you
that.
Talking
like,
about?
Yes. Or like it even goes the reverse way. Like I've been in this punk rock deep dive and my daughter's been a great sport. Like we've been just blaring YouTube on the TV and we were blaring the chats the other night. I don't know if you're down with the chats, but great.
Unaware.
They're like, oh, they're one of my favorites. And I send it to people and they're like, all right. But to me and my daughter, my girlfriend, we're raging on Viagra Boys and the chats and all these bands. But yeah, to them, like Randy's not impressed. Yesterday, he was not impressed with the chats, which you'll love their hits, Pub Feed. Their massive hit, I'm on Smoko, or just Smoko, it's called, but the chorus is I'm on Smoko. It's my favorite. And it's a ginger. Okay. Because I'm part ginger in the beard, I love when a ginger has success in any field. Because I know how I've been treated since I've been able to, you know, grow a beard. And then because my dad was a redhead, but he was also like, you know, a redhead that wouldn't hesitate to, you know, defend himself against any people who didn't like redheads. So he didn't have it too hard. He actually probably, you know, he made out fine.
Hey everyone, it's Jamie jumping in, letting you know today's episode is brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com. They are killing the game right now. And since bands aren't touring, your support is greatly appreciated. You'll see they have so many cool designs from Whitechapel, Thy Art is Murder. They have suffocation masks. They got Sepultura long sleeves. Like we got Derek from Sepultura coming up on the show next week. And let me tell you this. This Heather Gray logo long sleeve that they have at IndieMerchStore.com is sick. I'm definitely ordering that. I saw they got Vital Remains merch now. Shout out to Vital Remains. Shout out to Rhode Island. Also, Cattle Decaption pre-orders are up for the Matador t-shirt, the Anthropocene Extinction zip hoodie, and those flat brim hats. And they got the new Ingested coming out August 7th, my birthday. Features my buddy Kirk. Rocker, I'm on a death metal record, he said. Rocker, it's hard, like you say. All right, check it out. IndieMerchStore.com. Use the promo code 15JASTA. That's 15 JASTA over at IndieMerchStore.com. Now back to the show.
Anyways, the chats, check them out after the show. Okay. I thought maybe...
For sure.
I thought maybe I sent the link to Brian yesterday, but I don't know. Did I send it to you, or did I send you the Viagra Boys link to play Randy? Either way, Randy was... He was like, okay. He wasn't really... He didn't have that level.
Yeah, I had the Viagra Boy.
Okay, yeah. Because you're not into sports, right, Blasco?
I mean, I like boxing. You know, I like basketball because my wife's a big basketball fan. So I just kind of picked that up along the way. But I really couldn't tell you much about. I couldn't go deep, right? I couldn't go deep on the history or the stats of any sport whatsoever.
All right. Well, I think being in metal and punk rock, we all knew the people growing up that just, they did not have any feelings for sports whatsoever. And if there was ever a song that summed this up. I'm gonna have Brian play this right now. Like that, just like that punk rocker feeling towards sports. This is the best song. This is so good. Hopefully there's no like, you know, current internet controversy with this band, so I don't get bombarded by like people like, hey man, that dude's, you know what, you know how it, like I forgot who it was I tweeted about some band, and then people were responding like, no, you can't talk about them because their bass player did something. I forget. Anyways, it's a lot of that going on right now. So
yeah, you don't know.
You got to heavily vet whoever you play. You got to heavily, no. And I've done no vetting in this game.
You want me to pull it up? I got it.
Wait, go back to the chorus. Go back. That's the breakdown. I'm happy you picked the part with the breakdown, but go back to that verse chorus. I could imagine wherever these guys play, like they'll probably play those indie festivals. Like no offense, it seems like it's like a Coachella type band.
Yeah.
Shout out to Fold. Shout out to Bill Fold. He's an introvert, sure. Right? Like he's an introvert. He won't do the podcast. I think he's too
shy.
Yeah, he stays in the BTS behind the scenes. Now, see, what's great about, I see you're doing the same thing Randy did. You're giving me the same face. You don't have the same electricity or energy. We're not putting off the same vibe.
Well, but I'll go and absorb it, right? And then I think that I will learn, I will appreciate it, because it's like, it seems cool, but it's hard to tell in this environment in a brief snippets. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I can dig it.
Okay. Because, and let me ask you this. I don't know how much you remember of this or if you ever noticed this, but back in the day, especially when I was a real young, like 12, 13 years old, I went to my first show. One of the first shows I went to was like a local punk show. And one of the coolest things was that people were raging. And I knew that it wasn't the same level of musicianship as like bands I heard on MTV or on the college radio station, but there was just something so cool about them getting up there and being like, fuck it, look, I'm not fucking Yngwie, but I'm gonna play this with power and character and my own spin. And the fact that like I could go downtown on the bus and see like a ton of people wearing Sex Pistols and Ramones and Black Flag. And I knew that was different than like, you know, Metallica, Guns N' Roses and Megadeth, and that they weren't as good like of players, but they still had like a diehard fan base. Like that was just always so cool to me.
Yeah. I'm older. So like the level of musicianship kind of in sort of my heyday of growing up was like adult oriented rock, which is like Styx and Boston and, you know, like that level of shit, like, you know, like that's like majorly produced, well written, well crafted, high level of musicianship. Right. And that was fun, right? And that was, you know, it was what it was, but it almost kind of, in hindsight now, it almost kind of feels a little unreal, right? Like a Journey or a Foreigner or something, to where you go like, man, like how do you connect the dots to even get to that level, right? Because it's like, I'm like you, where I resonate with the Slayers or the, you know, the sort of more primal stuff.
The caveman shit.
Yeah, like I pick up a guitar and this is what I'm writing and this is what I'm feeling, right? Like to where you go like, I don't know what the dudes in Journey are like feeling. Like I can't, you know, like in hindsight, when you're my age and you're looking at it, right? I don't know where that's coming from, right? Like I'm not dissing it. I'm just saying, like, you resonate with things that you understand where it's coming from as a younger kid, right? And then you go to appreciate, you know, something like the Beatles or whatever after the fact, you know. But yeah, I'm right there with you on that one.
Yeah, because my cousin, shout out to my cousin John. I heard a lot of like music growing up that he liked too. Like, he liked all different sorts of like Robert Cray and Rush and but you know, Iron Maiden. He liked all different styles of music, but I could definitely tell that, I guess the word would be attitude, right? Like, attitude can carry you, like a snarl as a, and not that like the big rock and metal bands didn't have attitude, but there was just something that I loved about the punk and hardcore bands that was so cool, that you could just have this legion of fans. You could have these diehard fans, and those other bands were fans of you. Like, I would see like Hetfield wear like Misfits shirts and Ramones, and I would see like, yeah, like Duff and Axl wearing like Black Flag and Ramones and Sex Pistols and things like that. So that really helped me sort of view things as like, an attitude can also bring success, not just skill, not just talent, but like piss and vinegar and an attitude that connects with people too. And I know we've all dealt with, and I don't want to generalize too much, and I know now as a 40-year-old man, it's not a competition, but when you're a kid and there's scenes and there's genres and people are like, oh, this band's better than this band, or this scene is cooler than this scene or whatever, you deal with that, especially when you're in a band. And I would go to like Sam Ash or, you know, like the local music store, and you'd get a lot of like, you know, okay, kid. Yeah, good luck. Yeah, good luck. You're putting up your flyer, and this guy thinks he's going to be, you know, the next David Lee Roth. Mm-hmm. And he's like, good luck. And I'm like, have you seen the punk and hardcore shows? I mean, there's more people at these shows than at, and this is 91, 92. So, you know, the glam thing was already on the way down. But there was that sort of, you know, that they looked down upon us type of feeling. And
yeah, of course,
to then have like an army of people like support our style of music, knowing what we knew growing up, like these bands, you know, they had a fucking diehard fan base and they didn't need MTV, they didn't need radio. Like, it was just so cool. And still to this day, I love that. Like, you go on, you see the chats has 10 million views for three chord punk rock on YouTube, and they were probably like passed over by every label, and like these major labels would probably kill to have a fucking video with 10 million views at this point.
No doubt. I mean, it's just what resonates, you know. I mean, like Slayer and Metallica early on, I mean, they had that sort of similar type of thing that you're talking about. Like, there was a bit of a scene, you know, and they were very punk rock in attitude. You know, like, man, like growing up in LA, I got to see Slayer their entire career. And like no band could open for them. Like in the local scene, or like you would get annihilated. I don't know if it was just because there was just a lack of bands at their level that were cool, or they just never wanted to open for them or whatever. But like to give you some context, like the first band I remember seeing open for Slayer that didn't get booed off stage was Mastodon. Like, that's how deep into their career that, you know, like, I mean, I remember seeing them all the way, like, you know, when they were headlining the Palladium and stuff, and like band, I don't know if in hindsight they were kind of just trolling their audience and just picked the most ridiculous opening bands that would get annihilated or whatever, but for what you're saying, they're growing up in LA and being more sort of metal than hardcore, is that there was a very similar sort of taste of a scene, as well as just attitude, right, of kind of what you're talking about. Like those bands had a very similar type of thing.
Well, the migration from glam to thrash, like those who did that were smart, You know, there were some bands who did that and they were smart, and some bands, you know, got accepted and some bands didn't. And then locally in the scene where I'm from, there wasn't a huge glam scene. There were some of those types of shows like at the very end of it. And I was super young. I would go to this place called The Moon, which mainly did, you know, punk and hardcore shows. And I'd go to this other place called The Urban Jungle, which then turned into The Tune In in the early 90s. But you know how there was like those sort of traditional heavy metal bands like Flotsam and Jetsam and Judas Priest and Iron Maiden, like that sort of sound, but it also kind of crossed over like into thrash, where those, some of those bands would play together and stuff. And then throughout the 90s, you know, as glam kind of fell off, which, you know, I know some people say like grunge killed it or whatever. I don't really agree with that. I just think that grunge and punk rock and the harder metal, hardcore and even some of that like post hardcore stuff, it just kind of like spotlighted that like people were changing, ideas were changing, attitudes were changing. Again, going back to the attitude, like less is more. Like you could see a band get up there like with no backdrop, you know, with a t-shirt and fucking draw thousands of people and just annihilate the place. Like no light show. And so it kind of, I think it shined a light on like, okay, you got this guy over here, like standing there still like noodling. And that's all great when you have, you know, tons of lights behind you and fucking smoke and all this shit. But then it's also great when you got a guy who's got nothing and he's just got attitude and piss and vinegar and he's fucking ripping.
Yeah. 100%, man. Yeah. I was in LA. Well, my whole life, but you know, I gotta say for certain that grunge definitely annihilated hair metal, at least the LA hair metal scene. Like, okay, because before Smells Like Teen Spirit, you could drive down the strip from Gazzari's to the Whiskey, and it on a weekend, and it would be packed. Every club is a hair metal band, like girls, guys, bands promoting, flyering, like hooking up, like whatever. It was end to end strip, you know, hair metal madness. Smells Like Teen Spirit come out. Literally 2 weeks later, it was a COVID ghost town. Like there was no one. It decimated the LA scene like literally overnight, and it was actually pretty crazy to watch.
Hey, it's Jamie letting you know we have an exclusive Rock Beef episode up on Patreon right now, patreon.com/Josta. We got to our goal of 100 patrons. I think we're even over it by now, by the time you're hearing it. But we also do a weekly metal roundup update, and we will do a new Josta song every month this year. So head on over to patreon.com/Josta if you want to add that to you. In addition to your Gas Digital Network subscription, your Gas Digital Network subscription stays the same. You get over 520 episodes in the archive. It's a great deal. And now we're getting added content because content is king in 2020. We're getting all that up on patreon.com/Josta. Check it out after the podcast today. Now back to the show.
And then how about those bands that then tried to make the transition from like punk rock, like hardcore, like DOA or something, that tried to then make that jump into like the Guns N' Roses land or like Soundgarden, you know what I mean? Like they tried to do that hard shift into that, but yet not changing their name or anything.
people completely conveniently forgot about a lot of that.
Yeah. Like when I was in Cryptic Slaughter, my first gig with Cryptic Slaughter that wasn't like a backyard party or some VFW, you know, hall, was the first gig, like an actual venue, was opening for Discharge on their transition record.
Oh, you know? Brave New World.
Yeah.
All right. I want to preface this. Sorry, Tez. Sorry, everybody. Cause Discharge is kick ass again now, but, and they're all right there. They're on Nuclear Blast with us. So, but go on. Yeah, that's the sidestep that was wow.
Yeah, and keep in mind the show was still badass, but I heard that on that tour there were like, you know, skinheads and stuff showing up and like fighting the band and like, you know, that not having it. But I don't recall the LA show being that overly, you know, crazy. It was like 1985, so I'm pretty foggy on the details. But that was my first real gig, but that was the album that they were on at the time.
Right, the vocals were like Robert Plant all of a sudden or something, right? I remember it was very different.
Yeah,
yeah. That was. You ever make that dollar bin mistake before you were in the know? And you're like, wow, there's all these in the dollar bin. I'm like, oh, awesome. And you would get it.
I
made that mistake many times. Took me like four or five times. See, I think a lot of people don't account for the gravitation into ska too, though. Because there was like girls that one night, they had the hair teased up with the White Lion shirt. And then like a year later, they're like at the Mighty Boss Tone show or what was the other one? There was another one. There was a couple ones that I remember. And they were older than me. But things changed. But definitely they migrated into different scenes. But you say in LA, the grunge killed it. I guess out here, we just had more like different scenes you could go to from, like, if something fell out of fashion, right? Like we had the ska, we had the punk, we had the hardcore, we had the death metal, the all that. But I was thinking, now that you mentioned DOA, right? TSOL, they did it, right? I remember buying one of theirs, and the dude at the counter was like, "Don't do it, bro." I go, "It's a dollar." He's like, "That's not the one." And then the guy from Uniform Choice, it said, It said, like, you know, Uniform Choice, someone's, you know, whatever. And then I get up to the counter, the guy's like, "Don't do it." What was that? Mind Funk?
Yes. Yes.
That and was then a there dollar was bin stacked. Like,
and then. So one of the other bands we played with on that Discharge show was a band from San Francisco called Attitude Adjustment. And they made the transition and they were called 2-Bit Thief.
Yes. Don't make me bust out my Attitude Adjustment vinyl right now and my crew neck sweatshirt. Hard. Attitude Adjustment was hard. Yeah. Chromesuckers became like Rain or something.
Oh wow, right?
Remember that? Was that we've had a couple guests on the show where we've talked about that era, cuz that is true that a lot of people from both the glam and the thrash, especially fans, they did gravitate towards some of the funk metal. Like I remember going to Infectious Grooves at Toad's place and it was pretty packed.
Yep.
No, so that-
The funk metal thing is a bit of a footnote of heavy, you know, heavy metal sub genres, but man, it was hot. It was on fire for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. These two girls from my school, they loved, two Mexican girls. I wonder what happened to them because they were like down for, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Like this is before the big shit. They had the Faith No More, but with I think it was Chuck was the first singer.
Chuck Mosley. Yeah.
And you know, like when you think girls are cute and you want to act like you're cool. So you're like,
of course.
All right, I'll check it out. But like Red Hot Chili Peppers, I don't know. The name sounds a little whatever. Sus. Suspect. You know, it sounds a little weak. Like, let me check it out. Like, oh, well, what do you listen to? I'm like, you ever hear Arise by Sub or whatever? I forget what it was at that time. It was you ever hear Biohazard? but there was another one. Now, did Circle Jerks have a sidestep? There was a couple. I remember the dollar bin. Well, there was Cherry
Celtic Frost. That was they were probably the worst offender, I think. Because, you know, a lot of them didn't have like a video that got rotation you know what I mean? Like a lot of them kind of were able to, even though they made a hard left, like history has not done them a disservice because there's really no video proof of it happening, right? Like a bad record, fine, whatever. But like Cherry Orchard's video is fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Like yeah. That's a difficult one to recover from.
All is forgiven though. We, you know, Tom
100%.
He's been on the show. Tom is good people. Shout out to Tom. That reminds me. Did you ever read that book?
Which one?
The Tom G Warrior book.
I did not. I heard like it was great though.
Yeah, there is an unofficial. See, I'm looking for IP. Okay, so you got anything we can license for Gas Digital? Something cool. I know everybody's looking for this stuff. Anybody who has any sort of YouTube channel or network, and I know a lot of this material is free on YouTube and stuff. But I doubt there's like a free audio version of his book yet. And if I could narrate it, or you know, we hire somebody very cool to narrate it. There's Are You Morbid, and there's I think it's Are You Morbid. I don't think there's an audio version of that yet. And I thought that would be cool to put up on Gas Digital as an exclusive, but.
That's interesting, right? Because now you can't even entertain the idea of putting out a book without the audio component. Like it's not even logical. You know, it's like making a record and not putting it on Spotify.
No, and the last I checked, like the paperbacks go for $200, like even used. It's very hard to find. I don't know who owns the rights. I got to reach out to him again. It was something I reached out to him about a while ago, and I thought, that's weird. It's not available on audiobook. But did Zach narrate his books?
I don't know that there is an audio version of that either, to be honest. I mean, that one book is pretty old, and it was right around the time I came in as management, because actually I wasn't even managing then. I was like doing marketing or whatever. And that was like kind of my first assignment, was to set up the marketing for the book. And I put together a book tour, and whatnot. But yeah, come to think of it, I don't think there is an audio version of that. The interesting thing about that book is that it's called Bringing Metal to the Children. So everyone thought that it was a children's book. Like no one knew that it wasn't. So there was a bit of an education that went along with that, you know? So I don't know. Maybe he should just write a children's book at this point.
Check on the license. Maybe that's something I can do while I'm off. I'll narrate that book.
For sure.
That could even be something we just do right through Amazon. Or right through my agent. Represents, you know, I have a literary agent, and we could probably do a deal with the with Team Blasco
for sure. No problem.
Quick and easy.
Actually, sounds cool.
And Zach's up there. I don't know if you can see him up there. He's next to Conan.
Okay. No, I definitely can't.
Dwarfing Conan. You can't see him. All right. Well, here's Conan. He's dwarfing him. See. And then here's Zach. And I broke Zach. I was gonna auction this off for Chris Santos's charity for everyone who's furloughed and laid off from the Tao Group restaurants. Yeah. And then of course I fucking break it. And so now I have to glue it back together. I don't know what the bids are up to. My Slayer shorts went and some handwritten lyrics, but look at Zach's mouth on this. I know Zach purposely had his mouth made like that.
That's ridiculous.
He's missing the axe because I broke it. But I got everything up here, and I got the glue too. See the glue? Where's the glue? I got the glue up there too, so I'll fix it.
Just to remind you, like I got to get around to fixing that.
Yeah, I don't know if someone bid on it and won in the charity, I was gonna, you know, send like a certificate of authenticity, like it came out of my little podcast space here, and not that I want to get rid of Zach. I want to keep him, but I thought it would be for a good cause.
For sure.
So I hit you up. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do two episodes this week. I want to talk about the Muppets.
It's funny because it's like, you know, it's the difference of what 10 years makes, right? To where like the Muppets for me growing up was a pretty important part of growing up, like in that it was like I watched it in real time when it was on at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays or whenever that was. And, you know, granted it was a long time ago, so I'm foggy on it, but, and it was certainly important. But keep in mind, this was pre-cable. Like this was at a time whenever you had to get up off the couch and like switch channels, and you had the physical TV guide to where you knew when stuff was on and you had to remember. And, you know, I mean, maybe at that point there was more than just the three channels, but not much more really at that point. I think a standout moment of the Muppets was Alice Cooper. I remember that, like, cause they would have musical guests from time to time. And, I remember the Alice Cooper one.
Dude, it is needed more than ever right now. And history does repeat itself, especially in entertainment. They're remaking movies from the 70s, from the 60s. They're buying up all the IP. They're especially animated stuff and stuff that's puppets, because you can shoot it without being at risk for COVID. Mm-hmm. You can shoot it with one person doing all the voices. No, like I talked to my nephews, my nieces, my friends' children, you know, you say, you know, anything about puppets, they look at you like you got 50 heads. They're like, nobody wants to be a puppeteer in 2020, right?
Probably not. No.
They think they're going to be TikTok stars, and God bless them. Maybe they will be. I don't know. You know, they think they're going to be the goals and dreams of these new kids. I hate to sound like the old fart, but I don't know how realistic they are. And I say, no, you got to have a skill. You got to be creative. You got to find a lane, and you got to be passionate about it and want to do it. I'm like, aren't you into art? Aren't you into painting? Are you into music? My nephew plays piano. He's great. He's really been getting into piano, and he's got a great voice, but he won't come and sing with me at the studio. He's pitch perfect. I hear him. Like, I take him to his lessons, and then I'll hear him. He doesn't want me going in. So I say, oh, I'll wait in the car, but then I wait by the door and I try to listen in, and he's pitch perfect. He's great. Right. But you know, you can bring a horse to water, you can't make him drink. And if you're not cool, like the cool person, like to him, I'm not cool anymore. Like I was the man.
Right.
But now it's like, all right, fine. I'm like, no, I'm telling you. So I was saying to them, nobody's doing animation. Like you could learn, go to college for animation, go to college for puppeteering, do claymation, do something unique and find a lane. I'll invest. It'll be fun. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen, but imagine a young Frank Oz. If someone told him, like, this is dumb, you can't do this. Talk about prolific, right? He was Fozzie. Can we bring up a picture of Fozzie? Everybody in metal is somehow influenced by the Muppets. This is what my deep dive the other night when I texted you was all about. Whether they know it or not, everyone in Muppets has influenced someone in metal. This is my pitch. So Brian, let me see. Can you, you'll have to unzip that file that I sent you, but, okay, Fozzie, right? He was like the comedian.
Yeah.
Without Fozzie, would there be a Disturbed Stupefy? You don't know if that set the click off, like, in the brain. Right?
I mean, I'd never thought about that before.
What does Fozzie do?
I don't... Brian,
play Blasco what Fozzie does. You tell me.
Ah, are you ready, comedy partner? Waka waka.
Okay, now it's not similar. Well, it's similar. Now let's hear what David Draymond does. All right.
Waka waka. So, okay, but here's my Fozzie Bear story. So I remember going to see Return of the Jedi in the theater when it came out. And my dad was so pissed at Yoda because it was Fozzie Fozzie Bear.
Yes, he's that's like, Frank Oz.
Yes, and he was so pissed that because if you didn't grow up on the Muppets and you watch Star Wars, specifically Yoda, you don't connect the dots with that, right? But you just played that Fozzie Bear clip, and I was like, holy shit, yeah. Like, I forgot, but even just that little clip, you're like, that is Yoda.
It is, totally.
It was, but my dad was just pissed that they didn't even try to make it sound any different whatsoever, that it was just Fozzie Bear, and to him, that crushed the whole fantasy of it all.
Wow, it took him out of it.
Yeah, totally. Pissed.
Frank
Oz. Borderline walking out of the theater.
I could see that. Yeah. I saw, what did I see in the theaters? I want to say, maybe it was Return of the Jedi. But I watched Muppets on reruns.
Yeah.
And when it was syndicated. So, but Frank Oz, you want to talk about prolific. I mean, this guy, he was a director, a producer, an actor, a voice, you know, a puppeteer. He did Little Shop of Horrors. He did Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. He did What About Bob, which is a classic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy's just amazing. But so pull up that picture of Fozzie again. I was thinking, just look at this picture of Fozzie, right? I think so maybe he didn't influence David Draymond for the ooh, wah, ah, ah, ah. But, you know, as far as making up your own noise, like that was just legendary. Fozzie did it. And then look at that hat. I think Corey Taylor has rocked a similar hat than that. Right.
Who can we call out for wearing a similar, like, what is it? Ascot or scarf?
Yes,
or
that was next. That was next. I think Yngwie got the scarf from Fozzie. So again, it might be subconscious, but I think Muppets there's a connection with everything in metal. Now, the next one we're going to show you right now, another one, I think subconsciously influenced somebody in metal. I'm talking about Beaker. Remember Beaker?
Of course.
Beaker's hilarious. Brian's going to pull up the picture of Beaker. You tell me the first metal guy that comes to your mind when you see Beaker. Like, who could he have influenced? Look at that. Say it.
Boy.
It's okay. It's no disrespect.
No, I'm drawing a blank of who you're thinking.
I'm going to say Wayne Static.
Oh, okay, the hair.
Who are you going to say?
Like, I'm thinking more of like an actor, like in that particular photo.
Rest in peace, remember. Wayne Static. You know, it's all love. It's all love. All right, so then, did you ever hear Beaker singing?
Well, I must have. It's been a long time.
There is a great video of Beaker singing. But you know what? Before we get to the Beaker singing, can we talk about Animal?
And I was going to say, like, who isn't Animal would be easier.
Yeah, because he could be the most metal Muppet. Like,
he for sure is.
Although Rolf, how do you say it? Ralph Rolf. It was Rowlf.
Yeah.
He's pretty metal too. And then the big one, Sweetums or something. I forget. It was like a big, scary looking one. I could see him coming out on a fucking stage with Saxon or somebody. But let's see the picture of Animal real quick, Brian, if you don't mind. And then I gotta play you the Sepultura Muppets. I went down such a deep dive. Look at how great is Animal. He's great.
Animal is like every metal band guy ever.
Right? He's jammed with Dave Grohl. He's jammed with like, I think he jammed with Keith Moon, didn't he? Or who did he jam with? There's a legendary.
Like on the show?
Yes.
Oh shit, I don't remember.
The show, if anyone goes down the deep dive of the Muppets, the show has so many good skits and so many great And I liked how they did like kind of like C and D celebs, like not just A and B list celebs, but they would go a little more sort of obscure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was really cool. Let's have your reaction to, I think, Animal's Igor from Sepultura. And let's see your reaction to Animal in this Muppets tribute to Sepultura. It was a typical day at the Muppet studio. Animal and the gang were pounding some... What is that? It was too quick. But after some... Elton John. All right, you get the picture, but
yeah, I mean, so does this make us the old jaded grumpy guys in the balcony? Is that where this goes? That we're those guys in the of the Muppets?
Oh yeah, those guys are great. Statler and Waldorf.
Yes.
Yeah, like they would heckle Fozzie. So like if Fozzie was David Draymond, like he'd be like silence. Those guys are up there. Like didn't that happen with the girl with the cell phone or whatever?
Yep. Yep.
But you know what? Hey, that reminds me of, we're gonna do yours is, ours is.
Hold on, let me tell you. Yours is and ours is. Yours is and ours is. Yours is, and ours is, yours is. Listen to me.
So I think Shakira, David Draymond, he doesn't really owe Fozzie an elk steak, or what do bears eat these days? Blueberries, what do they eat?
Bears? They probably eat what they've always eaten.
Deer.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know. I look
trash.
I look on YouTube and it's like bears are starving and it's like, yeah, trash. That's terrible. So you're gonna decide, did Shakira rip off Fozzie from the Muppets? All right. Brian's gonna play the clip.
Are you ready, comedy partner? Waka waka.
All right. There it is. That's
this is Africa.
One more time with the Shakira. We know the Fozzie one.
Because this is Africa. This time for Africa.
I mean, I don't see why she couldn't have.
She's a Muppet biter.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Blatant plagiarism. You know,
and the timeline works out too. So I'd say yes, 100%.
Yeah. Predates Shakira. She was growing up watching it, right? They must have had
She wasn't even born. No way.
No? Yeah. I think she's older than you think, dude. I think she's in her 40s.
Really?
I think so. Maybe Brian can check her age while we're talking about the next one is Sam Eagle.
Sam, oh, dude, he's the best.
he's so metal. You know what he kind of reminds me of? He reminds me of Rollins.
I forgot about Sam Eagle. He's the best.
Wait till you see his face and tell me he's not Rollins. And Brian just messaged me. She's 43.
Oh, okay. So maybe she watched it. I bet that even then. I don't know if
she saw it in reruns, bro. I'm 42.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
So wait till you see this picture of Sam Eagle. It's Rollins. Right?
Oh my God.
Right? Rollins goes and he performs for the troops, right? Like he's all about America. Like
totally.
You know, he's like, he's about America, but like in a cool way. Like not like Rollins is like, yeah, he's cool. And then what about, wait, shit, what was the other? Did I send you another? There, I knew we weren't going to be able to get to them all because there's like, there's one dude who looks real hard. He's like, he's got like an evil, like dragon looking face. Do you remember that guy? Let me see if I can pull him up. There were so many I wanted to go over, but I was like, well, there's no way we're going to get to this in an hour. But then what about the Pepe the Prawn? Did you ever see him?
I don't remember that one.
He's like, I was surprised they still do him because, you know, everything's so sensitive now. And he's kind of like the Spanish Lothario.
Right.
Like he like touches on the girls a little too much. He's like, baby, you know, I'm Pepe the Prawn. And I'm surprised like Pepe didn't get Me Too'd yet. Let me see if I can find an image of Pepe or maybe Brian Ken, but he's like, he's got a hilarious face. And I don't know who voices the characters now, but I think Disney owns the Muppets now. So we'll probably get demonetized on YouTube for this, but there.
<That's Pepe. laughs> I mean, I remember the look. I don't think I ever knew his name.
He's later on. I think he might be new. He might be New Jack Muppets, but he'll probably be Me Too. We won't, I don't know if we'll be hearing from him much longer. Okay. The one who was like Kermit's like nephew, I think it was. He was the, what about the terrorist one? Like the one who, there was a couple that would just, they would just blow shit up. Like they used to have pyro on.
Like, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There was all sorts of explosions. The nephew of Kermit, I want to say, fuck, what was his name?
Because the Alice Cooper episode that I remember, he played Schools Out. And I remember like there being Muppets like detonating like TNT and shit, like in the song.
Yes. Yes. There was Robin the Frog was his sweet nephew, but no, there was the stage manager. You know what? Let me see if I Google Muppets stage manager. What he was a Scooter. There he is, a Muppet character known for being the backstage manager, utility stage crew member, and general all-around gopher on the Muppet Show. He was originally performed by Richard Hunt until his death in 1992. R.I.P. Richard Hunt, and it's currently performed by David Rudman. But yeah, like that. See, Muppets are metal, dude. Like, and actually, yeah. If you pull up. Brian, if you can pull up this picture of Scooter from the Muppets and show Blasco his picture, he's got, I think he's even got like a backstage pass. I don't know who his look reminds me of. It definitely reminds me of somebody. Maybe it's not a metal look, but like every metal band needs their Scooter, right? They need to get him on stage on time and make sure that they get the set time and they know the where the exit doors are. Look, he's got the clipboard, starter jacket.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Is that a pass? Is he showing his pass?
No, I think it's a clipboard.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was too before he zoomed in on it there. But yeah, so anyways, we're going to have to do a part two where we go through all the other Muppets and who they've... Who I
and then
think,
I'll become more prepared. I'll do some research and see if I can, you know, trigger some wires from back in the in the day whenever I watched it, like what other episodes and stuff too.
The one who was doing the explosions, like they would this none of that shit would fly on TV today because it was like it was fucking insane. There's a cold open clip. We'll post it in the show notes. There's a cold open clip, like a compilation of Scooter's cold opens. And there's definitely times where I think it's Crazy Harry or maybe Lou Zealand. Remember Lou Zealand?
No.
He had the fish and he had the crazy mustache. He looked like...
Yes. I remember. Yeah, for sure. I remember the mustache.
I want to say it was Crazy Harry. Let me see if I can just pull up Crazy Harry. Crazy Harry had, he was the pyrotechnic expert.
Okay.
So like he was the guy like who brought down let's see here, unkempt figure with wild eyes, crazy hairy Muppet wiki. Oh my god, this guy is great. Oh yeah, this guy could be in so many metal bands. He could be Keith Moon. He could be, who else is into pyro? Rammstein. He could definitely be an honorary member of Rammstein. Brian, you got to pull up a picture of Crazy Harry. This guy is fucking amazing. He's got I thought he had a shovel, but he's actually got like a detonation. Like what is those things where
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, where he was doing that on the Alice Cooper episode.
All right. Well, I've made Brian pull up too many images and people are going to get mad that I'm asking a producer to pull up images. I think it was on the Trevor episode where people got mad at me for asking Brian to pull something up. When meanwhile, that's his job to pull up clips. And all right. Thank you so much for your time, Blasco.
Of course. Yeah. We'll do a part two. Muppets Gone Metal. Part two.
And then I'm going to start designing my own puppets. We're going to build a stage. We're going to get Brewer involved. We're going to get Florentine. I know Florentine's got crank anchors, but what happens is if I want to go and like license the images and do merch and do my, like, you got to go to Comedy Central. They're not going to do it. So you just got to create your own stuff. It's like, George R. R. Martin. He couldn't, you know, he's not going to recreate Lord of the Rings. He's going to write his own fucking fantasy sword and sorcery type of thing. And then look what happens. We get a new story and then the old farts can go, oh, it's just ripping off Lord of the Rings and all that other sword and sorcery stuff. But they'll probably do that for us. They'll be like, you know, they're ripping off the Muppets.
Yeah, cool. Whatever.
It's going to be fucking great. We're going to have guests. We're going to have a band. It's going to be a variety show.
Well, we might not have any choice. We might have to really think of that. This is really our future of like,
for real.
How do we pivot around never doing a show again? Well, we have to make a variety show of puppets.
We do. We need to. It has to be done. You're going to do one of the voices. You're going to be the bass player. It's going to be great. Well, Brian's got another show, I think, at 3. So he needs to decompress. We need to give him a break from this mess. But thank you for everything.
Of course. And, thanks, Brian.
We'll do a part two, Metal Muppets, to be continued.
Nice. Cool. See you next time.
Thanks, guys. If you are still listening to the outro after the outro, thank you so much. You know, we got some bills to pay and it is incredible. Everybody who's supporting our sponsors and everyone who is supporting the Patreon right now, you're really saving our asses during this pandemic, during this this year of no touring. And we still got those no more tours shirts up for that are benefiting the Hatebreed Road Crew over at martyrstore.net. We also added some pint glasses, which will probably be sold out by the time you're seeing this or hearing this, depending if you're watching on YouTube. If you are on YouTube, if you watch this on YouTube or you listen to this on YouTube, please like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell. I think I'm getting the YouTube lingo correct. We need you to do that so we stay in the algorithms. We had a little dip there, but now it's going back up with the Howard episode and the Randy episode. So we want to keep getting those views and keep building the subscribers on YouTube because it's been greatly helpful. And we want to thank IndieMerchStore.com because they're killing it right now. I'm looking at their site right now. They got Signs of the Swarm merch. They got all new merch from The Ocean. They got stuff back in stock from Shadow of Intent and Whitechapel. Plus, they got that new Ingested pre-order and that new Suffocation pre-order for that Jesus Wept t-shirt. That shit is hard. Don't wear that to the bank. Oh my God, you get some, be like me and get some dirty looks. They also got Suffocation logo shorts, which I really might have to buy. I'm looking at that right now. Use my code though, 15JASTA. Don't forget, if you want more content, if you're liking what you're hearing and you want, you know, that extra joss to fix, we got the weekly metal roundup every week exclusively on Patreon. We got the Rock Beef special edition episode that's up now with Jericho and Bach. I'm going over that Rock Beef. I'm going into that. And that ended up being a really long episode, like almost an hour, because I read through all the tweets. I'm giving my take on each side. It's pretty interesting if you're into the rock beef. If you're not into the rock beef and you're just into hard riffs, we got the new metal countdown is up now. All the music shows are going to be up on Patreon going forward. So patreon.com/Josta. Also, thank you to Mission 2 Entertainment. You can order that the Harley version of the Cro-Mags, not the Cro-Mags JM, but the Harley version. They have their first album out in 30 years. They're sponsoring the show. Mission2Entertainment.com. You can get the bundles over there, and they got other bands on the label now and releasing or just released this Cro-Mags In the Beginning album. Again, first album in, God, I don't know how many years, 30 years. So check it out over at Mission2Entertainment.com. That's the word two, not the number two. Also, I want to plug some of our past sponsors real quick. I really appreciate them still keeping the coupons codes live, and hopefully they're going to be coming back on board. I noticed a lot of people have been ordering the Ridge wallet, and thank you. This is also mainly to thank everybody. If you did use our coupon code at theridge.com or ridge.com, the coupon code is still live. I noticed that. So you can go to ridge.com/Josta and use the code Josta. And it's amazing products. Like, this is one of the best companies we've worked with. And I really want to thank everyone who's been tweeting me and tweeting them, because that's the best way to move the needle for us. Like, if we get a sponsor, you tweet at them or write them a message on Instagram. And then they usually come back on board. We've had even during this dip, during the pandemic, we've had a lot of sponsors start to come back, which are great as, you know, the economy rebounds and everything. But let me know what you're watching. Let me know what I've been watching that Business of Drugs show. I love that lady on there. She's so cute, but she's married. I looked on her Instagram. Listen, I'm not single anyways. I'm just saying, I'm a sucker for redheads. Anyway, she's super cute. I guess she's like an ex-CIA agent. The Business of Drugs, it's super interesting. It's on Netflix. Also, been reading a bunch of comics. Thank you to everybody who sent me comics to the P.O. Box. I really appreciate that. I got to shout out Contagion Comics. I got a couple people I got to shout out, but I'll do that on the next episode. Next week, next Monday, we got Derek from Sepultura. And if you want to leave a message for Tony Campos, the satanic Hispanic himself from Asesino and Ministry and Fear Factory and Soulfly, he's coming on with Edsel Dope next week. So you can leave a message at 201-677-8032, hit the hotline buster and let us know what you think. And then you can email jostashow@gmail.com. Also sign up for our email list, josta.fanbridge.com, which we only send out like now. I think we're just doing like once a month. So you're never spammed. And yeah, I think that's it. Did I already plug martyrstore.net? Oh, I got to plug the Coffee, Death Metal, and Push-Ups pre-order for the mugs. We did some, I think we did 100 white and 100 black mugs. Those will be up this weekend, but act fast, because all the pre-orders have been selling out very quickly. So martyrstore.net, martyrstore.net. All right. Drink your coffee. Do your push-ups. Listen to death metal. Get out there. Slay the day. Keep the PMA to the grave, Buster. And I love you all. Thank you all. Have a great weekend. And I'll be back Monday with Derek from Sepultura. Executive producers Jake Olszewski, Ben Lee, Niall Scollard, Richard Miller, Morgan Costner, Zapagor Wakaido, Josh Lipinski, Matt West, Jack Flanders, Nicholas Look, Jeffrey Kewen, Devon Chandler, Crystal McLaughlin, Justin Steven, Brian Underkoffler, Zach Timmons, and Andy Wilson. Thank you so much.